pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being that we're so old, I mean the church that is, we don't have any founding members in the midst, or what I would call charter members. Now, there might be some who can trace their ancestry back to a charter member. I think there are some in the church. In my last church, since it was founded in 1963, we actually had charter members still living. There were about a dozen of them when I first came to the church, and these were the folks that held all the stories. And they talked about the beginnings of the church and the building of the church and how they would go door to door and work to get that church started. When the church had their first service, these members came forward and signed the register. And they were the charter members of the church. We had the same process here so many years ago. There were people who founded this church, who worked and sweat and prayed over this church and built the church. And although we don't have their first person stories, every year during our cemetery walk, we resurrect one or two of those founding members and tell their stories through an actor, because it's important to have the stories of the beginnings of how a church grew. So I want to tell you the story of the founding member of the Christian church. The first member of the church was Peter, and Jesus gave him that designation because he figured it out before everybody else did. He said, that Peter had said to him, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And so Jesus said to him, "You're going to be the first rock of the church. You're going to be one of the building stones, the first one. And on this church, I will build my church." Doesn't mean that Peter was the founder of the church. Jesus was. He was the first member. And Jesus gave him an incredible promise. He said, "The gates of Hades," or death, "will not prevail against the church." Now, what was he talking about? Well, we know that there are many things we can escape in life. We can escape danger, we can escape poverty, we can escape our humble beginnings, but there's one thing we cannot escape, and that's death. Death is the great equalizer. And the imagery is that when we die, the grave holds us close. The gates close in against us, and we cannot get out. But there was one person that broke death's hold, and that was Jesus. And he gives the promise to the church that death is not the last word, that life is. And so for how many millennia have we seen that the gates of death have not had the final word on the church? In the beginning, in Peter's time, the gates of death were literal. People lost their lives because of their faith, and yet the church went on. In our day and age, I wouldn't say that literal death or danger is the problem in the church. If I were to pronounce a problem with the modern day church, and I'm not just talking about our church, but any of the Christian churches, especially in the United States, the problem is not danger from the outside, it's apathy from the inside. It's people saying, "There's so much trouble in the world, there's so many problems in the world, what difference does the church make? I need to leave. Or I just don't have the time or the energy to combat evil." And that's the danger of our day and age. But Jesus' promise is the same. The gates of death will not prevail. And I see that when I look at my Milwaukee friends, who had a church that was a very fine church. They had a lot of members in the 80s and 90s, and like many American churches, it just started a downhill slide. And there was another church in another neighborhood that had the same downhill slide. And these folks, instead of saying, you know, it's just too much work, they said, God has put us here for a reason, and we need to look at that. So they joined forces, saying, if we join together, we'll be stronger and we'll be able to do the ministry. And some of you know this story. When they joined together, somebody absconded with all their major funds. And the mother church said, this church has had it. They begged for help, and nobody would come to their rescue. But this small group believed in the resurrection. This small group believed that death was not the final say. And they said, we are in this city and we are not going to close because the city needs us. And that group is on fire today, and they are on a course to take care of the urban needs of that city. That's why they're establishing an urban ministry center. And every time they send an update, I look at it and say, I don't know how they're going to do it, because it's going to take buckets of money. But they said, we're in this city for good, and we know a Savior, and we are not giving up. Death does not have the final say. I think of young Christy in the church that she served in California, which will remain nameless. They wanted a traditional church. They wanted a church where you come in and you have a certain way of doing things. And she was starting to attract the wrong people to the church. She was starting to attract the homeless into the church and people that didn't look like the folks who were already there. And she was so gifted in that, that people were coming in that could not take care of the church but needed the church. And the members said, we don't want that here. And finally, after 5 years of toil, she said, I hear you. And she left. And we called her to Milwaukee. We said, there's something that needs to happen in Milwaukee. And this young woman, 32 years old, who could have walked out the door of the church and shaken the dust off her feet, said, I'm in the business of resurrection. And so she's coming and starting a new ministry here. You see, it doesn't say you'll have no problems if you join the church. The Bible doesn't say that there won't be a great issue that comes up that discourages us. What Jesus promised was, it will not prevail against you. Life will win if you believe that. So that's the great promise that he gave to the first member, the charter member of the Christian church, was, I'm going to build the church. Death is going to try to take control, but it's not going to be allowed to. You have to believe that. But then the second thing that Jesus said to the first member of the church was, I'm going to give you some keys. These are the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you, and this is a very difficult phrase, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. Well, I'm going to explain it to you this way. Keys can do two things. It can lock people out or bring people in. And he's saying to Peter, I'm giving you that privilege and that responsibility. You can either shut the door and lock people out of the kingdom, or you can throw the door wide open. What are you going to do with these keys? And what did Peter do? On the day of Pentecost, he got up and he opened the door to 3,000 people to come into the kingdom. Peter, the good Jew, the man who was raised to believe that his people were the only people of God, that his people were the privileged people of God, threw open the door to the Gentile community. This man took the keys and flung the door wide open. Each one of us has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It is a very humbling responsibility. And we as a church can do one of two things. We can use the keys and say, only these types of people can be part of us. And I only want certain types in this church or in my realm of fellowship. Or we can use those keys and say, whoever wants to be a part of my life as a person of God, I will bring in. That's the challenge that we have. That's the privilege that we have. That's the awesome responsibility. In your life, next week, you are holding a key. Will you open the door or lock people out? It's up to you. Peter decided to throw open the kingdom of heaven to everyone who wanted to come in. What is the story for this church? We call ourselves the Church of the Open Door. And I hope as people come in, especially our tourists that are going to come in over the summer, that we throw these doors wide open. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a promise that death will not have the final say. And we ask that you would bring life to the person here that has said, what is the use? God would be upon this place as we go forward in ministry this summer. In Jesus' name, amen.